Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. Good evening, everyone. Glad to have everyone on. Thankful for everyone that's watching and that's listening. We've got TikTok over here to my right. We've got folks watching from Maryland. Happy Thursday from California. Hey, I'm glad that you're here, rooted and established. And also, we're on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitch, and Twitter. And Legit08 says, I think I've been watching your church on YouTube and didn't even know it was yours. Hey, that's awesome. glad that you're a part. Glad that you're watching. And thankful for everyone that's jumping on. Hey, as you jump on, if you would, please share the broadcast. Thankful for you. And as you're watching, if you can, type in the comments and let me know that you're watching. Put an emoji hand in the comment section. Say hello. The moment that you comment, I can actually see your username and your handle. It's the same way on TikTok. It's the same way on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitch, and on Twitter. My desire, my goal is for this. Thursday today at 9 p.m., of course, we've started. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday leading up to Easter, we're going to do a live stream at 9 p.m. every evening. I normally live stream Bible study on Thursdays at 11 a.m., so a little bit different time, but nonetheless, trying to reach more people during this Easter season as we lead up to Resurrection Sunday, this coming Sunday. And so my heart's desire is that with these messages that we reach people for Jesus and that we would see many people saved. And the way you can actively take part in that is as you're commenting, as you like, and as you share the broadcast, it helps me reach more people. So I'm thankful for you doing that. I appreciate all the time that you spend, that you're watching and listening. And here's the thing, even though these are soul-winning target, that's my target, is to win people to Christ, the more you and I as believers understand about the power of salvation, the more we it builds up our faith. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so the more we hear about the glories of salvation, the more it gets rooted in the depth of our heart. The more we believe it, the more it consumes our heart and our mind, and it makes us effective witnesses. You know, just a few weeks ago, I preached at church, and someone was mentioned that they're watching the church YouTube, Gospel Tabernacle in upstate of South Carolina. Is where I pastor and serve under my father, who's my pastor as well. And I was teaching a message entitled "Fishers of Men," and that's what the Lord desires. You know, that's the first call that Jesus made to disciples: come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And before he leaves and ascends to heaven, the last thing Jesus says is, go make disciples. So even if you're a believer, you think, well, I'm already saved. Do I really need to hear about salvation? Well, here's the thing. The more you hear about it, the more you believe it, the more you live in the power of it, and the more you can tell other people. So I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you're watching. We've got a great crowd already so far, and we're going to go ahead and get started. If you didn't see the thumbnail, and well, actually, what I'll make this point as well. We have coming up, if you're watching and you don't have a church home and you're in the upstate of South Carolina, I want you to come join me 10:30 a.m. Gospel Tabernacle Church. As you can see the thumbnail, Risen, a living Jesus. I want you to come join me Sunday morning, this Sunday, March 31st, 10:30 a.m. is when service starts. We would love to have you. And we're going to be looking at why the resurrection of Christ matters. I'm going to be preaching that sermon entitled Risen, a Living Jesus, why the resurrection matters to you, why it matters to me. I always like to take what God has shown us in his word and bring it right down back to us, very practical, because the word of God is the most practical book there is. There is no more practical truths than the word of God. I mean, it changes our life. It makes us alive. It shows us how to live. It shows us how to get to heaven. It shows us how to overcome in this life. It shows us how marriage works, how family works. It shows us how money works. It shows us how to get peace. It shows us how to have good relationships. It teaches us everything we have to need to know of. And so I want you to come join me Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Risen, a Living Jesus. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you. Now, tonight's broadcast, if you didn't see the thumbnail, tonight's broadcast is the question we're asking tonight. Are you lost? And TikTok family, you see over there on the header and the thumbnail as well, and Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. The question that I have for you is, are you lost? Are you lost? Now, why is that question so important? Let me go to Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. You might think, well, I feel lost. Or you might say, well, I don't know if I am lost. Tell me more. Luke 19, verse 10. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 9. Luke 19, verse 9. This is right after Jesus encounters this man named Zacchaeus. Maybe you've heard of Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man. And he climbed up into a sycamore tree, seeing what he could see, right? And there's this children's church or VBS song. Maybe you know that song or learned it in your childhood. And after Jesus is speaking to Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus believes on Jesus, and he comes to his house, Jesus makes this point in Luke 19, verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The reason we ask this question is, are you lost? Is because the Bible actually talks about four lost things. Four lost things. And in fact, if you would, type in the comments, "Are you lost?" question mark. Type that in the comments for me. "Are you lost?" question mark. And if you've never been on a broadcast with me before, if this is the first time that you're watching, I ask you to type things in the comment section so that you can interact. You're already watching, you're already listening, and now when you type in the comment section, it engages one more part of you in this interactive message when we're listening and hearing from God. Are you lost? The Bible talks about four things that are lost. And I want us to cover each one of those tonight in this message. Are you lost? The first thing, if we go to Luke chapter 15, and if you got a Bible and you want to follow along with me, please do. Luke chapter 15. Jesus gives three different parables in Luke chapter 15. Jesse says, "Yes, I'm lost." Well, Jesse, you're in the right place, because in just a few minutes, I'm going to show you how you can be found. I'm going to show you, if you're dead, how to become alive. And if you're lost, how you can be found. Because what is the joy of being lost? There is no joy of being lost, but there is joy in being found. Dan asked on TikTok, "How do you know if you're lost?" Stick with me. I'm going to show you exactly how you can determine whether you are lost or not. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives us three different parables that show us what it means to be lost and how there is no joy in being lost, but there is joy in being found. There is joy in searching and finding. The first one I want you to see is this. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 8, 9, and 10, it says this. "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now, this first lost item that the Bible talks about is a lost coin. If you wanted to, you could put an emoji coin in the comment section, or you could type "lost coin." This first lost item that Jesus tells us about is the lost coin. Now, it's speaking of a woman having 10 coins. You might think, well, what does that have anything to do with? What is this 10 coin business? Well, if you were to go back into those ancient times in Palestine and Israel in that time, a lady, a woman that is betrothed, that is engaged to be married, her bridegroom, her fiancé, we would say today, but her bridegroom that she is betrothed to, would give her a headband that would have 10 coins on it. And those coins would be either made out of silver or gold. And they would most likely have an inscription on them, either his name or the family name. And he would give that as an engagement gift, but also like an engagement ring. You can think of it like an engagement ring. This woman has received that headband of 10 coins, and she loses one. Now, here's the thing. Those coins, yeah, legit says that's what the coins on headband means. Absolutely. That's what it is. I learned this today, actually, when I was studying about it myself, because I thought there's got to be something here about these 10 coins. So what? This woman has 10 coins. Why does it matter? But it does. This lady is betrothed to her groom, her fiance, her bridegroom, this gentleman, and he has given to her this headband with these 10 coins. And tradition goes that she would actually take that headband and constantly keep it polished, keep it shining, because how she took care of that headband and cherished those 10 coins with her beloved's name on it, proved to him, you know, as an act of saying, I cherish you. Because of this you've given me, I'm taking good care of it. It shows that I cherish you as well. And so when this woman loses one coin, she has nine left. But when she loses the one coin, she immediately lights a lamp because, you know, in that day and age, you can't just flip on the lights. She lights a lamp and she begins to search for this one coin. She begins to diligently look for this one coin. Now you have to ask yourself, how did she lose this coin? Was it through neglect? Was it carelessness? Was it accident? I don't know. But let's say it was neglect. Let's say it was carelessness. Let's say one of those coins was loose and she didn't take care of it and to be able to get some thread and thread it back through and tighten up that loose thread. And maybe she allowed a loose coin to kind of dangle there for a day or two. Oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. But then when she goes to get that headband, maybe she's neglected it for a few days. And when she grabs that headband, there's one coin missing. And in her mind, she's thinking, okay, my beloved can't see this. He's going to see what he's given me that says, I love you and I want to marry you. And here's a token of my love towards you during this period of betrothment, of engagement until we are married. And I want you to take good care of it. And now she's thinking, if I come back, if my beloved comes back and sees I only have 9 of those 10 coins, what will he think? You know, the reality is you can be lost through carelessness. You can be lost in this world that we're living. You understand this world is on a trajectory to hell and destruction. Look around. I don't have to convince anyone. People, it seems society has lost their minds. I mean, you could be on any political spectrum, any kind of idea or way of life, and there's someone that you know, like, that person's bat crazy. And if you just go with the flow of this world, carelessness. If you just go with the flow of this world, you'll end up destroyed as well. And so what did this little woman do? What did this lady do when she realized one coin was lost? Immediately, she threw away carelessness. Immediately, she threw away neglect. I hope you understand that you are precious to God. But if you neglect yourself, how will you receive His love? How will you receive His salvation? You cannot neglect your spirit and your soul unto God. It's like, you know, what's the saying? Any dead fish can swim downstream. It takes zero effort to swim downstream. A dead fish will make it downstream. But those trout during time of season, of mating season and reproductive, that call in their body, they swim upstream. Now that takes energy. That takes determination. That takes a decision. And you cannot be careless with your life. You can't neglect your heart and the condition of your heart. You can't neglect it. Because what will happen is you'll wake up one day and you realize, oh, I really am lost. I've fallen away. I'm in the dark. I was with the other 9 coins, but where am I now? I'm under a sofa. I don't know if they got sofas back then. I'm under a sofa. I'm under, you know, under the laundry basket. And immediately what she did, she began to search. She began to search for this coin. I want you to know this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He has come to seek and to save those that are lost. He has come to, notice, seek and save those that are lost. Because if you're lost, before you can be saved, you have to be found. And I want you to know, as you're watching right now, if you've never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in just a few moments, I'm going to have the privilege and you'll have the opportunity to have that resurrection power enter into your heart by faith. We're going to pray in just a few moments. But before we get there, I want to show you 3 other things the Bible says that are lost. In this same parable, now this is Jesus teaching us, there's something else that can be lost. And so my first question is, are you a lost coin? But here's the second question, are you a lost sheep? I want you to type in the comments, are you a lost sheep? ? And if you can find the sheep emoji, I believe there's a sheep emoji on your phone. Type that in the comments. Are you a lost sheep? And if you're just joining us and you haven't shared the broadcast, please do. Appreciate it. Are you a lost sheep? Luke 15, starting at verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, the speaking of Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just persons who need no repentance. You know, when Jesus is teaching this, he's teaching this parable, and he's given these understandings of these 3 different lost things. Jesus, he speaks about the lost sheep. Now, the gentlemen, the boys and the men, just by nature of the work of those days, very hard, laborious work. Generally speaking, the men would have been caring for the sheep. Shepherds were generally men, not all the time. You know, Moses, he found his wife who was a shepherd, a shepherdess, right? When he leaves Egypt trying to get water, and he helps them. But generally speaking, the men would have been the ones that would have really clinged on to this parable. The ladies, they get the 10 coins across the head. Now that makes a lot of sense to them for sure in that area of betrothment. But here, this crowd, they hear Jesus teaching. There is a shepherd and he has 100 sheep, but one sheep wanders away. Are you lost? Well, you can be lost if you simply wander away. I hope you understand this is the second thing that we're seeing the Bible talks about that is lost, but it doesn't take a lot of work to be lost in this world. In fact, you basically have to do nothing. You basically have to do nothing. A resident of Gray Street on TikTok says, I'm lost. Well, my friend, stick around and you'll be found in just a second. He had a little bit of colorful commentary, but I'm thankful that you're watching and listening. Jesus makes this point with this shepherd. When one sheep wanders away, the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep that are safe and secure to go look for the one sheep that is lost. Because here's the thing. And we do a conference. We actually just did a second. This is our second year doing Shepherd's Conference at my church. And I had the opportunity of teaching that again. And we go through different things. And it has to do about being shepherding. Hey, Moody, glad to have you on. About shepherding and being shepherdorial, helping people become strong followers of Christ. The imagery of a shepherd's all through the Bible, Old and New Testament. But here's the thing about a sheep. When a sheep gets lost, when one sheep gets away from the flock, it's just a matter of time that either that sheep will be rescued or it will die. Because a sheep without a shepherd is weary and scattered and burdened and broken and bruised. And this shepherd realizes there is a time-sensitive reality to finding this sheep. I want you to understand that the gospel, it has an expiration date. The gospel has an expiration date. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that you don't have forever to put your faith in Christ. Someone might say, he's trying to scare you. Yes, you should be extremely fearful to die in your sins without a Savior who can stand in your behalf and say to the Father, who is a righteous judge, he did sin. AJ did sin, but he put his faith in me. And the sin which he committed, I died for. And the debt which he owed, I've already paid. And he's put his faith in me. And by my blood and by my life, he now lives. And the guilt and the shame which was upon him, I nailed it to the cross. And my right standing with you, Father, he now has it. He now has it because he is hid in me. Because it is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing, as the Bible says, to fall in the hands of an angry God. And then we think, well, angry. The Father who with holy justice will judge the earth and judge the inhabitants. And every person, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, every person is appointed unto a time of judgment. Everyone will die. This life doesn't go on forever. But you can have access to life that lives and goes on forever. It's called eternal life. And that's what Christ came to give you. And see, if you're a lost sheep, there's but a matter of time before you can be brought back into the flock. You have to be brought back into the flock, because the longer sheep stay away from the shepherd, the sooner they'll either be cast down, literally up on their back with their feet up in the air. And a sheep, boy, they're very fragile animals. This is naturally speaking. They're very fragile animals. If they're cast with their feet up in the air, or they get hung up somewhere because of wool, they can just starve to death. If you roll them over too quickly, if they are cast, their organs can get twisted up. They're very delicate, fragile animals. But also, the longer a sheep stays away, the larger a target on that sheep's back for the predator, the wolves that are looking to devour the sheep. And if you're a lost sheep, you have but a matter of time to be found. The good news is the shepherd's looking for you. The shepherd left the 99 sheep to find the one. I hope you understand, if you're watching and listening tonight and you don't feel valued, maybe you feel less than, maybe some people have torn you down over the years. Maybe people that should have loved you didn't treat you right. Maybe you've been abused in whatever manner that could have taken place, whether verbal or sexual or physical or mental. Maybe someone's really hurt you. Maybe you feel let down. I want you to know that you're valued. I want you to know that you are loved. And I want you to know that the shepherd, the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. And here's the thing. We live in a fallen, sinful world. You might say, why do these things happen? If God is so good, why do such bad things happen? The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that this world is under the sway of the wicked one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen in this world if God's so good? Well, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that this world, us people, when the Bible talks about world, it's not talking about necessarily this earth, this planet that's spinning around the sun. It's referring to the people that live on this planet. That the God of this world, little g, the God of this world has blinded the eyes of people. And so why do people hurt and abuse? Because the Bible tells us that we, having our nature like the devil, who was our father prior to salvation, we're children of disobedience. And we have a nature of wrath. And so we do things, even though we know they're wrong, we do them. We give eye for eye and tooth for tooth. And we're vengeful. Humanity is. But that does not mean that God doesn't love you with everything that He is. God loves you with everything that He is. He loves you so much, the Bible says, that God gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the shepherd's looking for the lost sheep. Here's the good news. If you're a lost sheep, the good shepherd's looking for you. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And right now, in your heart, if you're listening and you're lost, you're feeling right now the love of God. You're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You know there's things you've done wrong. You know you need to be made right with God, but you also want to be found. You know, isn't it interesting that when Adam and Eve, when they sin, you go all the way back to the beginning of humanity, the very first people during this plan of the ages, you see these people, and the very first thing after they do is sin, they hide. Sin always, always drives you to hide. It drives you to hide from God, but you can't hide from God. He's seeking, and He wants to save you. And the shepherd, he leaves these 99 sheep, and he goes searching for the one lost sheep. And the Bible says there's actually more joy for one repentant sinner than the 99 that did not need repentance. What does that mean? That means there is such great joy in all of heaven when the one lost sheep comes back to the fold. There doesn't have to be rejoicing for those that are safe and remain. But when the one that was gone comes back, when the one that is lost is brought back in, then there's great joy to where even all the angels of heaven rejoice. See, there's no joy in being lost, but there's great joy in being found. Third thing I want you to see the Bible talks about that is lost is lost sons. I want you to type this question in the comments. Are you a lost son? Glad to have you on, Stevie B, my UK friend. Glad that you're watching. Type that in the comments. Are you a lost son? Question mark. Jesus, I'm glad that you're watching on TikTok. Yeah, and I saw your comment. Yes, generally speaking, when the Bible talks about world, it's talking about people. For instance, for God so loved the world. He didn't send His Son to save the planet, the dirt called earth, but He sent His Son to save the people. Are you a lost son? Luke 15, verse 11. Then he said, Jesus, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Maybe you've heard this story of the prodigal son. If you didn't know, you are finding out today, just as I found out, prodigal means wasteful. I don't know why I've never thought to look that up, but prodigal means wasteful. So this is the story of a lost son who was a wasteful son. You know, it's unfortunate, but we can waste our lives away. You know, in the lost coin, we can be negligent, we can be careless, and find ourselves lost and without Christ. Like the sheep, we can just wander away, or we can search for that greener grass on the other side, and we find out that it's not actually greener grass, it's astroturf, and it's all fake. Or it can be like the lost son. The lost son, he was wasteful. I want you to know that you can end up lost just simply by wasting your life away. You are so precious in the eyes of God. The Lord loves you so much. A cost has been paid for you and I that we cannot even completely understand. We actually need help from the Holy Spirit to help us understand the depth of the love of God. And that's a good prayer to pray. A good prayer to pray. Lord, help me understand your love. Because the more we understand the love of God, the more we'll love Him. The more we'll love people. The more we'll love people that God loves. But you can be lost simply by just wasting your life away. Just frittering it away from one thing to the next. And that's what this young prodigal son did. You know, in this day and age, it wasn't wrong for him to ask of his father his inheritance. In this day and age, oftentimes fathers would disperse inheritance to their sons before they passed away. Nowadays, it seems like, you know, when I die, then you'll receive an inheritance. But generally speaking, oftentimes they would do it while they're living and disperse inheritance. And so when the son asked for that inheritance, he says, okay, it's yours legally, and I've already stored it up for you. Here you go. And immediately that wasteful son takes what he has been given from the father. He packs his stuff and he goes to a far country. He goes away. You know, how do you know if you're lost? If you're away from the Father, you're lost. If you're away from God the Father, you're lost. If you're away from the one who gives you all good things. James 1:17 says, the Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and in Him there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God the Father, He is good. He's holy, He's just. The Bible tells us in Romans 2:4 that it is actually the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. What is the goodness of God? That He is slow, He is merciful, He is patient, He is waiting and willing that all should be saved and none should perish. And just like this Father, He gives good gifts. I hope you understand Matthew chapter 5 tells us that it rains on the just and the unjust. You are experiencing the goodness of God right now, whether you realize it or not. It rains on the just and the unjust. You don't deserve rain. You get it because God has set up a system and you receive rain and it falls down. It's not whether like, oh, this person gets it, that person does. No, the goodness of God, you have breath in your lungs. You own devices that cost hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars and you're watching using Wi-Fi this stream right now. You have eyeballs to see and ears to hear. The goodness of God is filling your life right now, whether you've even come to Him yet. You're a recipient of this common grace, this beautiful goodness that the Lord's bestowed in the earth. Don't waste it. Don't be a prodigal son. Don't be a prodigal daughter. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Because that's what this son did. The moment he got those good things, he left. He departed. How crazy is that? He left the source of the goodness. And if you're a lost son, you're not connected to the source of the goodness that is in this universe. And His name is Jesus. Let's keep reading. What happens? Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Some people might use the phrase, when it rains, it pours, right? Well, he spent everything he had. And of course, when he ran out of money, does he have any friends? Zero. If the friends you have only come around when you get paid, they ain't a friend. They're a moocher. Come on, somebody. That's a word for somebody. If they only come around when it's payday, they don't love you. Mm-mm. If that gal will only go on dates with you when you're willing to buy, you know, when you're able to buy her supper, and she don't want to just hang out for being you, my friend, brother, it's not the personality she's interested in. It's the meal. Uh-oh. Now I went from preaching to to pecking now. Verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, this is a young Jewish boy. It's unclean by law to feed pigs. But he has debased himself. He has brought himself extremely low. You know, sin does that to you. Sin will he ran out of money. Sin will take what you got, leave you broke, busted, and disgusted. Satan will do that. Satan will take everything you have. He'll rob everything from you. And then he'll bring you down to a place and he'll put you so low you never would imagine you would have been there. And that's where this young, wasteful son, this prodigal son finds himself. That's where this lost son finds himself. He's feeding pigs. Back home, he wouldn't even touch them. Now, he's feeding them. Verse 16, notice what happens. This guy's so hungry. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. If you're expecting to receive mercy from Satan, if you think you're going to receive mercy from this world, you'll never find it. This world will give you no mercy. But God is a God of mercy. Jesus is extremely merciful. He already died on the cross and paid your debt. Would you not receive his free gift of salvation? Would you not receive it right now? Because if you don't, you'll end up in a place where you're lost and you're alone and no one will give you anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, you know, that's called repentance. When this young boy came to himself, what did he do? How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? He said, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and heaven. Excuse me, I've sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now this young man repents. You might say, what does it mean to repent? Repent literally means to change the way you think. And that's what the power of the Holy Ghost will do right now if you'll believe on Christ Jesus. You got to change the way you think. Hinkle McCrinkleberry, my friend on TikTok, says only religious people need to repent. No, every person that's ever breathed air needs to repent. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is nigh. What does it mean to repent? It means to throw off this old way of thinking and put on God's thinking. Because this young man, he found himself in a place where he's lost, he's undone, there's no one there to help him, and he's debased. I mean, he is shamed. He's living with the pigs, thinking, I might just join in with these guys and eat some supper. But then something happens. He comes to his senses. You know what? If you're watching and listening and you're believing to see someone saved, I have prayed Luke 15:17 hundreds of times for people. And I've seen, and I'm still praying for some people. I have a list of people that I'm praying, Lord, I want to see these people saved. And there's prayer passages and promises concerning how we're to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers. But this is one of the passages the Lord illuminated in my heart. Lord, I'm praying that this person, and I'll call them by name in my prayer closet. I'm praying for this person, Lord, that they'll come to their mind. They'll come to their senses. And they'll realize they're eating slop with the pigs and they could be dining at the Father's table. That's what sin and Satan will do to you. You'll be eating slop with the pigs when there's an empty chair at the Father's table. But if you'll change your mind, if you'll change your mind, if you'll repent, if you'll say, I will arise, go to my Father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Notice what that repentant heart did for this young man. I'm going to get up from where I'm at. I'm going to leave this place. And I'm going to stand before my Father. And I'm going to confess my sin. That's salvation. You might say, how can I be saved? If I'm a lost son, AJ, how can I be saved? It comes through repentance. It's saying, where I'm at, I refuse to stay here anymore. I'm going to get up. I'm going to leave. I'm going to humbly approach the Father, and I'm going to confess my sin. Now you say, what will happen when I do that? Let me read and tell you. Luke 15:20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now we may feel that way. But what does the Father do when we confess our sin? What does the Father do when we repent? We get up out of the slop with the pigs. We leave. We go to the Father and we confess our sin. What does the Father say? Verse 22. But the Father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again. And he is lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. See, we come to the Father and we repent. And we may even in that moment of repentance, for a second, we may feel shame, but immediately the Father says, because this lost son saying, I'm not even worthy to be called a son. Let me just be a hired servant. I just don't want to eat the slop of the pigs anymore. Let me be a hired servant. Immediately the Father doesn't even listen to him. He hears him confess his sin, but then this whole talk about I can't be your son anymore, the Father immediately restores this wasteful lost son back to himself. He says, go get my best robe, which would have been his robe. The Father takes his best robe and puts it on his son. The Father takes his ring and puts it on his hand. And then the Father prepares a meal for him. The Father puts sandals on his feet. When you come to Christ, that's what God the Father does. He puts his robe of righteousness on you. He puts his ring, signifying you're now in his family, on your hand. He puts his sandals on your feet and directs your path. And then he sets a table before you so that you can feast. You know, you look at the prodigal son. It's interesting. He was lost. He was ignorant. And he was dead. As matters of relationship were concerned. He was lost, he was ignorant, and he was dead. But Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The prodigal was lost. If you're a prodigal son, you're lost, but Jesus is the way. If you're a prodigal son, we're ignorant, but Jesus is the truth. If you're a prodigal son, you're dead in sin, but Jesus is life. The last thing I want you to see is this, that the Bible tells us, we've already looked there, that you could be, if you're lost, you could be a lost coin. Lost because of carelessness. If you're lost, you could be a lost sheep because you've wandered away. Or you could be a lost son because you're wasteful, because I was wasteful. The Bible also tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, who are lost. The last thing that I want you to know is that the Bible tells us this world we're living in is lost. And if you follow a lost world, you'll end up exactly where it's headed. This world, if I was to continue to read, is under the sway of the wicked one, as I already mentioned. The God of this world, little g, Satan, He is ruling and reigning for a time, not forever. He will swiftly be put down by the Lord Jesus Christ. But for a moment in time, right now, he's ruling and reigning through the hearts of deceived people. And when people sin, it's simply the will of Satan being done in the earth. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. See, you and I, whether we admit it or not, we've all done wrong. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all come to a place in our understanding that we know that we've done the wrong and we've got to pay the price. Naturally, we know this. We know this. You know, if you do the crime, you got to do the time, right? It's just that simple. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You plant a seed, you'll get a harvest. And when it comes to sin, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We don't use wage a whole lot, but basically I like to say it this way. The paycheck for the work of sin is death. You work all week, at the end of the week or end of the month, when you get paid, you get a paycheck for the work you've done. If you work sin your whole life, at the end of your life, you'll receive a paycheck, and it's death. It's eternal death in a real place called hell. In a real place called hell. You know, the Bible tells us, Jesus told us, he said explicitly that he did not make hell for humanity. He made hell for Satan and his angels. But if you follow the way of the wicked one, if you walk down that broad path following the way of Satan, you're going to end up where he's at. And I'm begging of you, turn right now. Turn away from that. Don't follow that destructive path any longer. Because the good news is this, though the paycheck for the work of sin is death, the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. The free gift of God is eternal life. What did the sheep do in order for the shepherd to come find him? The sheep didn't do anything. The sheep was just lost, and the shepherd searched for him. What did the coin have to do to be found? The coin did nothing. That little girl started searching for the coin. Then that lost son, when he came to his senses and he's coming back, you can imagine that conversation he's having all the way back to his father's house. But what did he actually do to get his father to forgive him? He showed up. He repented. He just came back to the father. And what do you have to do if you're lost in order to be found? Simply confess your sins. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on him as the risen Son of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I always like to add verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. Verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world, he so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his son into the earth to condemn the earth, to condemn the world, but rather we are already condemned. Christ came to save, to seek and to save those that are lost. If you're watching and you're listening right now and you feel this burning sensation, this out of body, it's a spiritual thing, but you feel like a burning in your heart. Your heart's come alive as you heard the word of God, and you say, you know what? I am lost. I have done things I'm ashamed of. I have done things that I know are wrong, and if I could, I would wipe them away. The good news is the blood of Christ Jesus can wash you clean. Christ died on that cross. On Calvary's hill, he shed his crimson, innocent, pure blood for you and for me. And if you put faith in him, that death he died, you died with him. When he was buried, you're buried. And when he's made alive, you're made alive by his life. If you're here and you're watching and you're listening on this on any of these platforms or the replay or the podcast, and you know you're not right with God, I want to pray a prayer of salvation with you right now. If you're watching and listening and you're just scrolling and for whatever reason you stop to listen to this guy talking about lost things and you realize at one point in time You know, kind of like that sheep, you were with the flock, but you wandered away and you need to make things right with God. You can pray this prayer as a prayer of rededication. But if you're here and you're watching and you're listening and you want to be found, you no longer want to be lost, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus, to die on my cross for my sins. He died my death. He paid my debt. He was buried in my grave. 3 days later, I believe he rose from the dead. And by his life, I'll live forevermore. Father, I confess Jesus is Lord. Father, I confess Jesus is my Lord. I repent of my sins. Wash me clean. And by your Spirit, Lord, make me brand new and empower me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, won't you type in the comment section, I just got saved. I would love to know if you prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer, type in the comment section, I just got saved, because something very miraculous just happened. By faith in the finished work of the cross, when you believe on Jesus, that death he died, you died it. When he was buried, you were buried. And when he was made alive, you're now made alive. Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6 tells us that. John on TikTok says, I prayed it. Praise God. Praise God. Charlene says, I just got saved. Thankful. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, here's what I want you to do. If you're watching and listening on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, I just dropped in the comment section a link. Click on that link, fill out the form, and we will send to you completely free my pastor's book, Bible Basics for Spirit-Filled Believers. It's a study guide. If you take that study guide with your Bible and you work through that study guide, it's 12 lessons. It'll take you some time. It's some homework. But when you get done with that study guide, you'll be a much stronger believer. Because the Bible tells us not to just see, help people get saved, but to make people into disciples, to be a strong follower of Christ Jesus. If you're watching on TikTok and you prayed that prayer, please, 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 it's free. Go to my bio. Click on the link tree in my bio. There is a tab that says, I just got saved. Tap on that tab. Fill out the form. Please do that. It's completely free because of the faithful giving of the people at our church, Gospel Tabernacle, here in Lawrence, South Carolina. Because of their faithful giving, we are able to make that completely free to you. And that's all I'm asking. Vivian on TikTok said, I prayed the prayer with you. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. There's many, many people that are praying that prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank God. There's people right now believing and receiving. Believing and receiving. Nutty the Squirrel 2 on TikTok says, AJ is going to eventually ask you it. Not a comprehensive sentence. Sorry. It's not coherent. Doesn't make sense. AJ is going to eventually asking you for money. No, no money. Just dispersing the knowledge of God for free. And the greatest gift I've ever received, which is salvation, Make sure you fill out that form. I want you to fill out that form. Hey, if you're watching and listening and you are part of this broadcast, I'm so thankful for you. If you've not followed or subscribed on whatever platform you're watching, please do. We're going to be live again Friday night, tomorrow night, 9 p.m. I'm going to ask another question Friday night and Saturday night, both nights, 9 p.m. leading up to Easter. Friday night, I'm going to ask the question, are you thirsty? And Saturday night, we'll ask the question, are you weary? And then, of course, Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, Easter, some call it, 10:30 a.m., Gospel Tabernacle Church here in Lawrence, South Carolina, risen, a living Jesus. If you're in the upstate and you don't have a home church, come be a part. We'd love to have you. We'll welcome you with loving arms. If you want to join us on the live stream, please do. You can watch it on any of the platforms that you're watching. Someone on TikTok says, AJ, please have moderators. No, thank you. I don't moderate. I don't block and I don't mute. Anybody can say anything they want to say. This is actually pretty tame. Hinkle McCrinkleberry, my friend, who says he's an atheist, but I don't believe him. I don't believe an atheist. Just like they say they don't believe in God, I don't believe in atheists. Joking around with them. We don't have moderators. You can say whatever you want to say. We've had some interesting things said before for sure, but it gets interesting. It's fun. But hey, I want you to come and listen. And if I'm just blocking people, like the very people that are making the comments that you think I should moderate, that's who I want to hear, stay around and listen. And if they get a kick out of commenting in the comment section something, and it means they stay around and hear the gospel, that works for me. Hey, I'm thankful for you. I'm going to jump off here in just a second. But if you're, as I mentioned, if you're in the upstate, you don't have a home church, and you want to come join us, Gospel Tabernacle, 10:30 a.m., March 31st, Easter morning, risen, a living Jesus. I would love to see you there. I'm thankful for you. And for everyone, as I mentioned, come join me tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Friday night. If you don't have plans, come spend your Friday evening with me. Jesus, I'm so glad that you clicked the link. A. Moody, live stream. Yep, I'm going to be on TikTok as well. 9 p.m. tomorrow night. Are you thirsty? That's the question we're going to ask. I'm so thankful for you. I pray that you have a great rest of your evening. It makes my day to know that so many people that were watching and listening received Jesus. I want you to know that when you believed on Christ, what happened? By the Spirit of God, you were made a brand new creation. Every old, shameful, sinful thing was washed away. Your name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You now have a place in heaven. You had a reservation in hell. You now have a mansion in heaven. And I want you to make sure that you make, look, that's step one. Receiving Christ is step one of this life He's called you into. Now's the time to grow and to become strong in your faith. You need to find a good local church. You need to be a part of a body of believers. You need to have a Bible that you read. Nowadays, with a cell phone, you've got a Bible instantly. But I would get a physical Bible. It's for the best to have a physical Bible. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. What's prayer? It's just having a conversation with God. Get plugged in a local church. Get under a good teaching of a good pastor. And of course, join us every time we live stream. Check out the podcast. Check out the live streams. We'd love to have you anytime. But that's enough, and that's it for tonight. Join me tomorrow, Friday, 9 p.m., and I'll ask the question, are you thirsty? I'm so thankful for you. I pray you have a great rest of your evening. God bless you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you. And every Thursday, I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.